Hey everyone, welcome to week two of the best of We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a bit of a special thing that we're doing for you. We hope that you enjoyed last week's episode and we hope that you enjoy this one. If you don't know what it is yet, we know people often start on best of episodes. It is a podcast about teen sex comedies and things thereabouts, but largely it is just an anthropological study into the bizarre personal life of our co-host Andy Hastings. The other co-hosts are me, Rose Piper, and Jamie Kirk. Some stuff that you'd probably need to know about us to get the most out of the show is I am a lesbian trans woman. Andy has this ridiculous personal life with an open marriage and possibly a drug problem, and Jamie is a bit of a fat nerd. That should kind of help you have the best time listening to this. Let's just get into it, because there's heaps of good shit in this. So I'll talk to you at the end of the episode. Until then, please enjoy part two of the best of We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All on this week's episode of...
Well, we'll just tell your mother that we ate it all.
Happy 2-year anniversary, podcast We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All, a podcast name that I still can't really ever get right. It's a really weird string of words to say, especially as the title of something, but you seem to make it work for 2 whole years. That's amazing. The following is a little clip from when I was privileged to be a guest on the pod. My name is Lauren Bonner. Please enjoy.
Now, your great-grandfather was the vaudevillian stand-up comedian who died after a bombing.
Froze to death
on a park bench.
I can't believe I forgot about this. So, Lauren, do you know about the first step of the story?
Okay.
So, Hastings quick version. Found out that, like, in his family genealogy...
My great-grandfather.
Bombing runs in their blood.
Yeah.
So, like, we don't know anything. There's no way you can tell it was a bomb.
So, his great-grandfather went out and did a gig one night. He was, like, a vaudeville comedian. And he was doing his famous bit, Ass
Baby. I've been doing stand-up for
5 years.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Secretly
portly,
Ass
Baby.
What country is this?
England.
Yeah.
And when I found this out, I'd been doing comedy for like 4 years already.
Wow.
Like, my dad was like, oh, you know you're like great-grandfather.
Yeah, and when you told us you'd been doing comedy for about 7 years.
Yeah.
And what year was this?
It was when my grandfather was 4.
So you're great.
So he would have been like he'd be in his 80s or something now if he was still alive, I guess. So like, yeah, 80 years ago maybe.
Yeah. So he bombed doing Ass Baby, a famous Hastings family bit.
Mm.
And then he went out and got drunk and fell asleep on a park bench after bombing and froze
like
to
drunk.
Death.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
it's very scary.
Maybe in your future.
I always think about Lieutenant Dan when people tell that story. Do you remember Lieutenant Dan from Forest Gump?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Lieutenant Dan, you ain't got no jokes.
It's an update from the wedding, Jamie. Do you want to fill Lauren in?
So I was very excited about this.
Oh, hang on. So this is wedding related.
Yeah, I went and talked to Hastings' dad during the wedding.
Right.
I was like, I want to know more about like the failed comedian Hastings.
So the reason I found out so late is he died when the park bench thing happened when my grandfather was 4.
Yeah.
And my grandfather's dead now. So it's like my dad, my granddad didn't even know him, really.
He was
You know, so it's like we don't really have a lot of info.
And what was his name?
I can't remember.
What?
Something Osborne. His last name was Osborne.
I swear you've said it before.
I don't know my great-grandfather's name.
Mm.
I know my grandfather's name, but I don't know my great-grandfather's
name. So anyway,
I
asked him, I was like, so how about, like, he's got failed comedian in the bloodline.
All right, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
You never know.
and Hasty's dad, like, lights up, and he was like, mate, not just one, there's 4. And
so what?
Shut up.
I was like, you're kidding. And he was like, because he was saying that, like, not only did Hastings' great-grandfather did it.
My dad very obnoxiously tried to insert himself in there, which I thought was...
No, he didn't. He didn't. He said great-grandfather, grandfather, all peripherally involved at being bad at comedy or being bad at comedy.
Yeah.
Mm. And then it skipped just him. And then he said with a lot of malice in his tone, and now it's moved to Andrew as well.
What did your grandfather do? Was he also a performer?
It wasn't his job. It was like he did like some like musical funny stuff. He was a pianist and a singer.
He did tech for...
And then your great-grandfather was also like a pianist
as well. They're all doing like musical comedies.
And so now you've just dropped that other skill entirely.
Yeah.
Well, my stepdad keeps telling me to be a musical comedian. But I don't know.
Man, you've tried everything else at this point. Well, you may as well give it a go.
But I keep telling him I don't like. I keep.
But it's in your blood to be bad.
Yeah, it's
it.
In your blood.
Like, I don't want to be a hack. Like, it's hard to be like...
Are you awake, love? With Andrew Hastings.
Yeah, yeah, there's no like emo musical comedy.
That's true. That wasn't. Mm. Yeah, I. That wasn't the kind of music I liked to play, though. Really, to be honest.
You didn't like vaudeville music?
No. No. I could do musical emo comedy. That could be fun.
Do that. That'd be funny.
MCR's already pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you could, you know, you're always looking for an angle.
Yeah, it is, I am always looking for an angle. Just but making money.
Just just that he like said so readily. He was like every generation.
Things. Yeah.
It was like kind of like the Slayer bloodline.
And I didn't know. I didn't know until I'd already been. I'd already started. I wouldn't have started if I'd known it was cursed.
Well, did you know it was every generation?
No, I didn't know that until the wedding. Yeah, it was weird.
What a day to find out.
Wow, your father comes to you on the day of your wedding and tells you it's in your blood to fail. Now go give your speech, son.
Okay, Oh,
oh, how are you going today, guys?
I got married. Nah.
And then your dad pretty brazenly hit on a vet during his speech while he was totaled.
Yeah, that was gross.
He was.
Whoa, what did he say?
He just like called her hot, essentially. Like,
and then kind of like leered at her a bit.
That's kind of standard like, he, like, father
did the
of the
thing
groom.
And like looked at her and went like,
they like flirt a lot. It's like pretty uncomfortable. Well, a vet's like made like a lot of jokes that have made me quite uncomfortable that I'm not convinced of jokes.
Well, your dad is just probably like a more powerful version of you.
Ah.
So.
Hello. No, put it up louder.
Oh.
Conchetta's listening to Marriage Story clips in the background. So I thought now would be a great time to send the, a thing. Hi, I'm Ben Cushion. Hi, congratulations on 2 years of doing the podcast. Congrats to Jamie, Rosie, Beastings. I know as one of the first people to ever do a podcast, it ain't easy. The Nonchalant Comedy Codcast was at the forefront of podcasting, and I broke the mold. So that you guys could run. I walked so you could have two bionic legs and be something. Thank you and good luck for the rest.
Friend of mine that my that another very good
Davis?
Friend of mine. No, well, Davis was in love with this particular woman. I was like, obsessed
oh, you
with her.
Sucked
you
in, Davis.
Yeah, you, they
tell
say,
her, give me her details. I will go fuck her tonight.
They say never dog the boys, but you never know till you've been tested. Am I right? But yeah, he was in love with her. But we were just like we were staying on his couch bed once, and we hooked up, and it was glorious.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah, I won't go into further detail because it'll get very.
Wait, so you were saying
boring.
The first time you're
right,
kidding?
Ben, tell us about when you lost your virginity, and we want gruesome details.
Are you, sorry,
last week.
Hold on.
I got a boner. <this time. laughs>
I have a question for Jamie. So are you trying to tell
me? I fucked a mango.
You trying to tell me, Jamie?
I microwaved it.
Is that wrong? We're in love. We're getting married.
What's her name?
It's converting.
Hey everyone, Jamie here. Oh boy, the pen story. I'm so happy that this made it to the best of. What I'm not happy about is that I've tried this fucking on stage at stand-up so many times and it never gets what it deserves. I should be Mike Birbiglia right now, touring a show around various mid-sized theatres called The Pen is Mightier Than the Social Anxiety, but I can't even get it to work at a three-minute story of bloody cactus juice. Anyway, enjoy the clip. It's better than I am on stage, I guess.
Fuck, man.
I became good friends with someone post-uni.
No bragging.
We figured out that we were close friends because he identified me for something very dumb I did in a tutorial once where, like, I...
Where you showed up and you thought you were supposed to be teaching this other class... But you came here, and then years later, you married
her. This is how I met your mother. Yeah.
This is a beautiful hymnium reference. And also, at Notre Dame, the biggest society was the How I Met Your Mother Society.
Was it really?
That's not a kid. That's the truth.
That's very funny.
So what did this friend recognize?
Yeah, what happened?
What happened was one time we were doing kind of like a exercise where we had to like silently write like an essay, and then we'd like give it to someone else to read, and then they'd read it aloud to the class. And as I started,
that sounds terrifying. Yeah. Did they name you?
Where'd you go to uni? Nightmare. This is horrible.
This isn't the horrible part. Yeah.
But when they read your thing out, did they say your name, or was it just like reading out?
No, they just
essay?
Say it's like I'm reading this person's essay. The person next to me. It's not like
that's horrifying.
Yeah, anyway, so like I get into my little pencil case, I try my pen, it doesn't work, and I was too nervous to ask someone for a pen, so I just scratched indents into the paper.
Oh my god.
And wrote a whole essay like that.
Oh my god.
You're an adult at this time.
Yeah.
That's
nuts. That's
fucking a plot line from one of these
this
fucking
is
movies.
My second year of uni. And
Jesus, second what year? Was this?
2006.
Fuck. So
second
so then
year.
So yeah, then it's pens down, finish. Guy hands me his essay. I hand him my blank piece of paper with indents, and he was like, "What is this?" And I was like, "I didn't have a pen." And he looked at me and he goes, "I have a pen."
Oh, good lord.
Everyone had a good laugh at me, and that's how my friend later was like, "Hey, you went to Macquarie. Like, you're the pen guy."
Yeah. I don't want to leave this topic.
You'd be famous
so
to all the people in that class.
Yeah, I guess.
Did you know that it was going to be read out?
Yeah.
And then you made the decision not to ask.
What did you think would happen? What did you think? Yeah,
I was anxious.
What was going through your head? Were you like, is this legible? Can I even read what's being put down?
Like, what do you think?
It was pretty deep scratches.
Flip it over. You read it with your hands. It's braille. It's quite an indent.
What did you think would be worse? Someone reading your chicken.
I thought asking for the pen would be worse, clearly.
Or you'd put your hand up and be like, excuse me, professor, actually, I forgot a pen.
I didn't want
to... Like, oh, you fucking idiot. You came to this class without a pen.
I didn't want
to
look unprepared. I had a whole pencil case.
Oh, that is... Every bit of this story is absolutely scrumptious.
That is up there with the best on the pod. Have you saved that for the year anniversary?
I think something with Lex reminded me of it earlier this week, and I was like, I should mention it.
How often do you think about this?
I haven't thought about it for years, really.
That's bullshit. I would think about that every
five minutes.
It would be constantly looming over my head.
Every time I touch a pen, I'm like, shit.
Well, I did stop.
Where were you?
That was the last day I ever wrote with my hand.
Especially like...
The next class, you turn up with a fucking laptop.
You invented the iPad. That's me.
You had a nightmare scenario as well. You had this horrific experience. You thought it was done. You thought you were done with your life. You made a new friend. He was like, wait, hold on. You did the thing. That's your worst fear come to life. Sure, that someone witnessed this.
Yeah, he was a cool guy. We got beers.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
But also, you've...
What if it happens again? When you meet a new person now, you're like, fuck, what if they were in the room too?
Oh, I think it's too far removed now.
What if you are doing the Melbourne International Comedy Festival gala...
And someone remembers
that? And someone
that?
In the front row is like, it's the pen guy!
I'd probably do the bit and crush.
Yeah, that would actually
destroy. Like, well, I guess it's come up quite naturally.
Yeah, see, like, it would be different because, like, if someone did an open mic, if they were like, hey, I'm trying comedy for the first time, like... You're the pen guy. I'd be like, oh, being at Sweeney's is far more embarrassing than the pen story. Yeah. Like, I've far surpassed that.
Yeah,
like, I'm drunk. It's 8:30 p.m. I'm trying out a new four that I forget halfway through. Yeah, that's way more embarrassing.
Your self-confidence has skyrocketed since
that's probably why I don't think about it as much anymore.
Come a long way, baby.
I used to for quite a bit.
Now you can be delighted when you think about it because it's honestly one of the best things I've ever heard.
It's an unbelievable story. Now maybe I will think about it every day because I'll be like, I made Alexi's life a little better that day.
That's stage worthy.
Yes, it is.
You can definitely do that.
I think I tried to do it as like a dual, like type of banter thing with Caution, but because it's so specific, I guess it's like not very jokey. It's like, this is what I did.
But there are so many funny details. Like, those are the laugh lines.
Maybe I'll try it.
Yes.
peeling all the
and
layers.
And then you've
away.
Got like a beautiful. And this is a
sorry,
story.
Probably
club
not allowed
story.
To talk about layers on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an onion thing, related to trade.
Intellectual property.
Yeah. So while you're here, I can actually take. I can put this through. This is going under the Mic Tech copyright. But we're a highly litigious micronation, the Mic Tech Republic. So, but that's a story club story. Because you've got a beautiful ending where it's like, yeah, I've got a great friend that knows me and has seen me blossom into a hairy man. And,
yeah, I suppose. And so.
But it can happen again. You could meet someone
else. You can make up some
class.
Like thing about like when he left.
You could be 70 years old.
Like,
you don't know.
Hey, man. And then just hands you a pen.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. This could
you
happen.
You might need this.
I don't
it'll
think
this could a happen. Thing where people come to see you and they throw pens at you on stage.
That'd be
I would
sick.
This is your version of Wolf of Wall Street where like, sell me this pen. Well, if you don't have a pen, you're going to actually.
This will happen. And then, yeah, so I tell that story and then I just get pushed a mountain of cocaine. And then just like, you won. I just dip my face in it and die.
Man, he looks so upset then just like imagining you doing cocaine that he's had no involvement in.
I'm not doing it with Hastings around.
Yeah, let the record show, not saying I was disappointed. Do not care for the white stuff.
Oh, man.
Huge hello and congratulations to the We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All gang, Rosie, Jamie and Andy. 2 years of your podcast. That's incredible. I'm so proud of all of you. And thank you so much for it. This is Alex J, by the way. Thank you so much for having me on as a guest twice now. I just feel so honored to be invited onto a podcast and then spend hours of my twice now. If I could just, again, just twice this has happened, and then spend hours of my life watching these movies in preparation for the podcast to then go on the podcast and only speak about them for about 5 minutes in total. So thanks again and congratulations to all of you. And I hope that one day we will actually be able to get together and talk about the movie Bring It On so that it wasn't just a complete waste of my time. All right, love you. Bye.
Are you only getting that one removed?
Just this
or
one, yeah, because it's the only visible one I
have. I always like that tattoo.
Thanks, man.
It's a shame that
it's all right. I just don't like it being visible. I've got like 10 other ones, but they're all easily hidden.
For like work and shit?
Yeah, just in general life stuff. So it's been
Rove
a long...
Rove, you get rid of it?
Yeah. No, I've been doing this for 2 years.
Say bye to
oh,
that
really?
Rove rolled up your sleeve. Oh, what the?
Say bye to that tattoo for me.
Tell your mum I'm disappointed in you for me.
Has that really been 2 years?
2 years.
How frequently do you go?
Every 10 weeks.
Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, because that's like how I met your mother.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I just...
No, it's just 10 sessions.
Silently rolling up your sleeve and just going... Peter Hellier doesn't have tattoos.
Long sleeves for you.
That's why Corinne Grant left. She wanted to get a sleeve.
For context, Alex worked with Rove on a couple of things.
On a pilot that we did recently,
Fingers crossed.
The stage thing as well, though, right?
So, we did like a live kind of talk show
Alex
as well.
Alex knows Rove, no big deal.
You brought it up.
Shut up, man, but keep going.
Whatever, she just thinks she's better than
Alex. Ever since Alex has started working with Rove, she's been a real bitch.
I don't mean to speak out of turn.
She won't stop bringing it up.
It's the first thing I said when I walked in.
Tell us everything about working with Rove.
He's like the best. I can't even.
Are you taller than him?
No, I think we're about the same height.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's still pretty short.
I'm 5'8".
That's quite short for a man.
Oh, is it?
No, it's not.
Jamie, that's quite short for a man. I'm about 6 foot.
Are we getting into this again?
This time, I'm actually about 6 foot.
What do you normally
say? Does about 6 foot mean just under 6 foot?
Like 5'8". Yeah.
You mean like 4 inches under?
Between like 5'11" and a half and 6 foot. I'm maybe like a centimeter under. I think I'm like 170.
Depending on whether you put your lifts in your shoes that day or not.
I'm about 179 centimeters. About that. 78, 79.
Go the Tom Cruise and wear little boots with heels.
I'm actually quite tall.
Good for you. I'm so happy for you. Jamie, how tall are you?
I think I'm about 5'11", actually.
All right. Rose?
6'2".
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all tower over Rove is what we're saying.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. That's what we were getting at.
We won't stand for that intimidating persona he puts on.
Do you know what podcast Rove has appeared on?
Oh, yeah.
The Enemy podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. Are they the Enemy podcast, like, officially?
Yeah. I feel like
from now.
I feel like maybe, I don't know if we're allowed to tell this story, but I'm going to anyway. It was like, I can't remember if it was Cam or Alexi that I was talking to, but they said, like, they were really worried when he was going to their house and they, like, cleaned the bathroom and shit. They're like, what if Rove needs to pee in my toilet?
That's quite cute.
Dad's coming over.
Hey, Fiona Cox here. Just want to say happy 2 years to We'll Just Tell Your Mother We Ate It All. Not sure what they're going to play for my episode, but just happy to be a part of it. Stoked to be considered the best of anything, really. Love you, miss you all, and I'll see you on the other side of ISO.
If you were going to parody a classic Australian ad, Jamie.
Five Cougars, thanks.
Five Cougars, thanks.
We did parody that. It never ended up.
Yeah, I assume you study that at advertising school.
No, I don't think so.
It never ended up being showed anywhere, but they tasked a few of my friends to like make this kind of like yearbook video for our school. We basically just wrote sketches, and one of them was like someone standing in the line of the canteen, like thinking like two packets of chips, two little pizzas and a bottle of Coke, and then getting up in the old canteen lady be like, what'll it be, Dale? Five Cougars, thanks.
That's funny.
It was actually pretty good.
I'd do the corn one where it's like, Ma, the rains are here. And the corn.
Oh, I love that.
I'd do that, but instead of corn, it's cum.
Oh, wow, of course you would.
It's like a teenage boy jacking off out his window.
You filmed this, haven't you?
we did an entire episode about when he filmed it and sent it to Tom Orr.
On the tin roof. And it's like, and then he's like, oh man, the rains are here. And then the end of the sketch, like the big punchline.
But what's the ad for?
It's a parody.
Yeah, but you've got an ad parody usually has some...
No. It's not an ad. Or in the context of these scary movies, they're not. It's a comedy parody of an ad.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm saying, come, and then the guy goes, oh, my, the rain is here. Then he does the thing where he gets up and runs off, and as he's doing it, the cum gets in his face.
Okay. That's not actually would fit in a scary movie type of movie. That,
like, I would I would do the AFL commercial where it was like American people who were like...
I just had an idea for one.
Being like... huge guys wearing no pads jumping on top of each other.
Wow,
I'd like to see that
one.
But obviously it'd make it very explicitly sexual.
I want to do, if we stay on your tack, I just wanted to, so establishing shot, there's a big fucking truck. It's two tradies. They're just eating a bowl full of cum.
Yeah.
Watching someone have like degustation at another restaurant. Shoveling cum into their mouths. And they're just like, do these guys know what they're missing out on?
The 420 ad.
The guy gets a big spoonful of cum in his mouth and he goes, wouldn't have a clue by the looks of them. Cum, the great Australian bite.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Do you have anything to contribute to this?
Me and Asing are out here fucking leading comedy. Yeah. Putting numbers on the boards.
What about like a big guy? What is he, the box score? like Hastings 4 points. Technically top scorer, percentage one. But like, my stats are terrible. What was I saying? No, what you do, it's like the VB one where it's like you can get it lifting, you can get it.
Oh,
mowing
God.
You can get it
any old how. Yeah. In fact, I got
As a matter of fact, I got it now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, instead of the beer cracking. And then it's like, dun, 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 did it. And you get the song. That's all funny.
Yeah.
Dun, dun,
dun. Yeah, just make content.
Yeah, right. So you get to do that. Do you remember the ad where it's like the tongue on its own and it pushed
the worst
me
ad of all time,
and then just touch
I know
me
who
and
made
he leaps
that.
Out.
Actually,
really?
Yeah, he's one of my actually favorite boss I've ever had.
Oh wow,
he's
that ad was like guy. Super successful.
Yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
But what was it for? It was for a drink.
It was for his extra dry. Ted's.
Yeah,
that was the ad that started the really good beer ads because everyone was like,
"Oh, because that became like a thing, right?" Like,
yeah,
like
everyone was like, "Crap, now I've got to do a big beer ad." And it's
surely
gonna be good.
The big ad, came
and then
before
that's
that.
No, that came after it.
Really,
as a parody to everybody doing these big.
Oh,
beer
right.
Yeah, that's how I remember. Also, like, you wouldn't invest that amount of money into a big budget beer ad unless you know the big budget cool beer ads.
Yeah,
work,
yeah,
right?
Like, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
So then
and,
the tongue makes
and
it.
The marketing department.
Well, I thought
let
there would have been. Successful beer ones before that.
I'm sure they were.
They were, but
that was like a very original, creative, cool kind
of
concept.
Yeah,
like,
most of them didn't have.
Like Tui's Extra Dry ones were the only beer ads I didn't like.
So the tongue dives into a bath of cum at the end. That's
yeah. Right. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
But you get on the phone.
Can I have a job? He's got a lot of ideas.
I do have the original guy's phone number.
He's got a lot of ideas.
Do you mind if we do this to your
You might have to move them off the idea of semen. I will not budge on that.
This is the Goodwill Hunting scene with the writing on the
It's just
cum. We've got these two sheets.
It's just cum on a blackboard that we've rubbed.
Giant dick.
Happy birthday from Danny. Good anniversary. Happy.
No, I just I didn't get it really.
Yeah, James.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
You must like have a little bit of Cameron in you, right, Dan? Like,
what's Cameron?
The guy, his Ferris Bueller's
the cuck.
Name. Yeah.
Who's Cameron?
His sad friend.
Yeah, the loser.
Really?
The loser dweeb friend.
Do you
identify with Ferris?
No, I. I don't remember the guy that was with Ferris.
There's a guy with Ferris the whole movie.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
The whole point is about three friends.
I thought it was just Ferris solo.
It's him and his girlfriend.
I thought Ferris was a
friend.
Lone Ranger.
It's clear that Dan has not watched the movie.
And there's also the sub...
in time for the podcast.
No, I've definitely seen bits and pieces of it.
Oh my god.
Oh, no.
Over the last decade.
Oh my sweet baby
last,
Jesus.
Probably over the last 25 years cuz it came out.
Wait.
In,
can we can
Did
I
it come out in 1988?
1986.
Yeah. Fucking
can
hell.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, yeah.
Please don't interrupt him.
Yeah.
Can you give like a short yet detailed summary of what you think happens in the movie?
Short yet detailed.
What's the plot?
From the
plot?
Beginning to the end. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Ferris is a carefree kind of young guy.
Yeah, that makes
okay.
sense.
He's yeah. in at school. He's yeah. very carefree. He's sort of like a class clown type.
Yeah. Okay.
Would
yeah.
like have wise cracks.
Yeah.
To be disruptive.
Yeah.
But also like widely beloved.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Which is annoying. And, I feel like rated
deep
on
resentment
my...
for Ferris Bueller.
I resented him.
Yeah.
Because I was getting my head pushed into a bubbler.
Yeah.
But so then he decides to like take a day off.
Yeah.
Okay.
So far you've described okay, so far, Bueller is and named what yeah. happens in the title.
So far he's yeah. seen a Ferris Bueller's Day Off poster.
Yeah.
He's just recounting what Jamie read out earlier.
How does he take a day off?
What happens on his day off?
All manner of things.
List some of them.
I know that for a fact that he gets a hold of a car.
He does. That's true. He
Such
does
a
get
big
a hold
part
of a car.
Of the movie.
Is that a key point?
Yes.
Yeah.
I felt like that was a cornerstone detail.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a red car.
Yeah.
It is red.
Is it a Ferrari?
It's a Ferrari.
Yeah. It's a big
It's a big red car.
Yeah. It's a vintage Ferrari.
Big red car for big red. But no.
Jesus.
And I think he...
Oh, this is the best podcast episode ever.
Yeah.
Okay, so he... Ferris Bueller's one of the Wiggles. Continue.
Yeah. Ferris Bueller's in the Wiggles. And I think the red car either belongs to his girlfriend's dad or his stepdad.
Neither.
No, you're close.
Or a teacher.
No. Neither. Yeah.
Okay. It's his friend Cameron,
friend,
who you somehow forgotten it's his father.
It's Cameron's.
It's the friend you forgot existed.
It's Cameron's dad. Yeah, Cameron. Yeah. Cameron doesn't exist in my head.
Well, there is a theory.
That's a very popular
I used to
theory.
Get told that I was Cameron because back pre transition and everything, like I kind of looked like him.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah, actually, I do see
when
that.
When I had like
particularly
short hair.
Particularly when you have short hair, yeah.
Was
when
he
when
in
we met,
Club?
You definitely. No.
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 He was in Spin City.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. That's the only other thing I know him
from. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're thinking of...
Any recurring role in Scrubs.
Yeah. John Hughes.
So the
same guy.
So the take...
Did he direct this as well?
Yeah.
The theory is that they say that Ferris Bueller's...
in Cameron's imagination.
Yeah, he doesn't... But yeah, go on.
Oh, yeah, okay. And so I know other key points. Like, okay. there's a bit where he goes, Bueller...
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you in there? He says Bueller. Like, he says like three times.
Yeah, and he's a got Ben Stein. Is the guy that says that?
Yeah.
He's got like a monotone.
Yeah, he's barely in the movie.
He's a Republican.
He's kind of in that one. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm loving.
He's a Republican.
I'm loving this.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how does Ferris?
He supported Trump.
So how does Ferris take his day off? What does he do?
Yeah, list some things Ferris does on his day off.
No. You're both asking different questions.
I'm asking
how
preamble.
Does he get the day off?
It's
right.
basically the longest day off in the world. Because it like seems like it goes for the whole
That's
movie.
True. There's no way he can feel that.
Almost like it goes for a whole day.
Yeah, it feels like so long.
Yeah.
I think he gets the day off by calling it a sickie.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he
got it.
But that's pretty easy to guess.
It's also huge part of the movie.
Yep. He definitely gets discovered in his ruse.
Oh no, that's kind of, well, kind of.
Kind yeah. of. He gets discovered by his sister.
His sister is mad at him, but at the end she covers for him.
Yeah.
And he's just so cool, isn't he?
He does get away with it. Do you want to talk about character arcs or motivations or things they did?
Or any of the big set pieces. Do you remember any of the big set pieces?
Yeah, there's like a few really famous set pieces. Yeah.
Classroom? Yeah.
No. It's a day off. Why would he be in a classroom?
There are things in the classroom.
Sure.
But it's not him.
That's not
in part of the movie. He's in class.
No.
No.
He's never in class because he's having a day off.
They don't even show it. It's literally
in the title there.
The closest he gets to the school ground is in the car park.
I thought that he was at. They showed him a bit at the school.
No. He fakes it to his parents.
Oh, okay.
And they call him sick.
Also, starts with him taking the day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes on a bunch of activities with, like, his girlfriend.
His girlfriend and his friend Cameron.
What's his girlfriend's name again? Starts with S.
She's hot.
Yeah, she's hot as shit.
She's very, very attractive.
Her name is Sloane.
Sloane, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Sly and the family.
Mm-hmm. Sloane.
Yeah, no, it's still a good pun, though.
Yeah, sure.
Sly and the family, Sloane.
Sure.
Okay.
No? I know that they're onto him. No. They're onto him. They're like trying to get him.
Yeah.
The principal reckons that.
Yeah, Principal Rooney.
Principal Rooney
thinks he's on the shonk. Yeah.
But they're trying to get him for this thing.
But he
and it turns out the person they had to try and get in the end was Principal Rooney.
Yeah.
Who turned out to be a raging pedophile.
Stack of child pornography he got found with.
Oh, that's really? In real life, not in the film.
Yeah, that's not in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That would make it like not the.
Also, he looks exactly like the kind of guy who would turn out to be a child porn enthusiast.
Mm. Yeah, I think pedophile is what the word you were looking for there was.
A 17-year-old boy, I believe it was.
Really?
Coerced into a nude photo shoot.
Sure.
Oh, my lord.
That's inappropriate in my opinion.
Yeah.
I got to come down against that.
I'd like to come out against that.
Yeah, yeah.
So say he's in the big red car. He's on his day off. Where'd he go? What's he do?
I want to say
I'm loving this structure. I
want to say the zoo.
Oh, I don't think he does.
They don't go to the zoo.
He goes to a restaurant.
They do go to a restaurant. They go to a restaurant.
They have a big meal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're such a fucking moron.
He just thinks it's my dinner with Andre.
Yeah.
And then they talk about ennui.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, kill me.
Socrates and Plato
and Sartre.
This is maybe the only structured episode we've had where we have a clear arc where it's like, get Dan to figure out what happened.
You should call it Ferris Bueller for Dummies.
We should just
have you on every episode being like, Dan, what did you watch the movie this week? Oh, yeah. What happened in it? Oh, it was a cheeky chappy.
I reckon I've seen it.
You reckon you've seen it?
I reckon I've seen it.
I reckon you have too.
I reckon I hated it so much that nothing comes to mind.
Yeah, right.
Well,
that's why you've blocked out seemingly the most famous set piece.
Yeah.
Which,
when you say set piece, you just mean part of the...
Yeah, but like it's a constructed, so it's like a set piece in a film. I don't know how to explain what that is.
Like the way that the battle for New York is a set piece of the Avengers.
Yeah, like it sets. It's all set up to build to this point.
Mm. Oh, you mean it's a pivotal point?
Sort of, but it's like something happens. They do a particular activity, and it's the scene of this activity.
It doesn't always have to be pivotal for the story. Okay. Sometimes so it's like, just like a big action.
Yes. The pod racing scene in The Phantom Menace is a set piece because it's like, oh, we've set up that there's a pod racing scene.
It's almost like a sketch within a movie.
It's like a part of the movie that stands alone almost.
He has sunglasses on.
He does at one point.
I
think he's dancing with sunglasses on at some point.
Yeah, you were getting there.
You go like that, like.
Yeah, you get there.
They can't hear my dancing, but
but it looks a treat.
This is going to be killing the listener. He does a musical number.
He does a lip sync
with Twist and Shout by the Beatles.
That's it.
Yes.
And that I found that upsetting.
As part of a parade.
What did you find so upsetting about it?
It was just like, what's going on here? Like,
it's a man expressing joy, having mirth, feeling good.
Yeah,
well, he's trying to show his uptight friend Cameron that like they're having a good day because he's taken him to the baseball and to a nice restaurant, and he says, "Aren't we having a good day?" And Cameron's like,
"They go to an art gallery. Yeah. They go to the top of the Empire State Building.
No, it's the Sears Tower.
What do you mean he doesn't feel any pleasure? What does that mean?"
Well, Cameron says they ask Cameron, "Are you having a good day? We've done all this stuff," and he says, "No, I haven't. Nothing's been that good so far. He hasn't felt any pleasure."
Does he have anhedonia?
It sounds like he might.
I think he's depressed.
He's also just scared of his dad.
Yeah, I think his dad beats the shit out of him.
This is pre-Prozac.
Have you been to that Art Institute of Chicago or whatever?
No, but I've been to the tower. It's Sears Tower. I think it's called the Willis Tower now.
It was called the Willis Tower when I went. But I went there and I tried to recreate the picture thing in photos.
Wait, so this movie's set in Chicago?
Yeah, a love letter to Chicago. Oh, we got two Dan Raths on the podcast now?
I thought it was in New York.
Did I cast Asperger's on?
Hang on. I'm starting.
Stop
I'm
bullying
starting,
Hastings.
Yeah.
I'm starting to connect a few things. Like Principal me. Rooney, Chicago, Del Close is in it.
Yeah.
Who's Del Close?
Who is Del Close in the movie?
Oh, that's the. Close? You were telling me that's the improv.
Yeah, he's like one of the fathers. Of
who is he in the movie?
He's the book teacher that tells that like insanely boring.
Who looks like a fucking droopy dog?
Oh, yeah. I thought that was Ben Stein.
No.
Well, maybe it is.
Ben Stein is the economics teacher. Del Close is the English teacher.
Yeah. Ben Stein is an actual economist.
And what does Del Close look like?
Speechwriter for Nixon.
Keep talking.
I feel like you should bully Hastings now because he's doing.
Yeah,
because
he's trying to get
and
one
he's
on
seen
you.
It and you liked it.
I didn't
you
like.
Idiot.
I didn't like it. I never said I liked
it.
I thought
you loved it.
But you said
the Empire State Building was in it.
Yeah,
that seems.
Well, because it's set in Chicago. I thought it was set in New York. They just say it's a tall. It's like a tall building.
Did you know The Matrix was set in Sydney?
The Matrix was set on Earth?
Home and Away real, star dude. Ada it's Nicodemo real, is in like one of the first scenes.
Yeah.
What was that? Finding Nemo was in it. What?
Finding Nemo was in
it. Yeah, he's down at the Sydney Aquarium.
Muriel's Wedding.
I love Nemo.
That's where they threw Jeff Ross.
No, Ada Nicodemo from Home and Away was in one of the first
scenes.
She's
the White Rabbit.
Yeah.
She's not a white rabbit. She has the tattoo of the
She went from Heartbreak High to Home and Away to
The Matrix, and then back to Home and Away.
And then back to
And then
Nemo.
To doing commercials for HelloFresh, who I
really?
May not work for.
Yeah. Man, I love
her. Yeah, she's a roofer. She fixes roofs.
So the core dynamic in the movie, Dan. Fuck me.
Oh, man, people are either going to find this the best podcast or the worst. Yeah.
I agree.
It's a real Dan Rath vibe.
I fucked everyone's shit up.
It could either be people like, this is the funniest shit either, or just like, I feel nothing.
Where does that guy live? I want to send a pine bomb.
Andrew, again, this next clip is from Basketball with Alex J, one of our favorite guests again. Hope you guys are doing good out there. We'll be back next week. Follow me on Twitter. Do all that shit.
I genuinely think it might be from watching a wet t-shirt match in WWE in 2002. I genuinely think that's where it comes from.
Oh, wow. Do you know the exact one you're thinking of?
Trish Stratus vs. Lita. It was on an episode of Raw. The match didn't actually end up going ahead because there was interference. Before, like, so Lita did it. And then when Trish was about to get her shirt wet, whoever the heel was at the time, it's probably Ivory or maybe Victoria. I don't know. She came and interfered to prevent Trish's shirt getting wet. So it's like, ooh, what a villain. Stopping the fellas from seeing them titties.
You sorry you asked?
I am just getting flashbacks of my high school ex right now.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah. Literally feel like I'm 17 again in his living room. Pretending to care just about the Undertaker.
See, the thing is, this guy went to WCW. Right.
I know what clotheslining is, don't worry.
You remind me of my high school. Like, I've heard that more than once.
You know,
he's a great
like
guy,
about
by the way. We're still
friends. Despite it being quite a silly and crude movie, a lot of the times, is they managed to get like genuine sportscasters in to come and play those roles.
Yeah, Bob Costas like and Al Michaels.
Oh,
yeah.
See, I miss all that because I don't like sports at all, and I've never been interested in anything surrounding them, even movies. But this is like the one sports movie I can fully get behind
because it's like so
because it's not
from
real. So I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know all that kind of
They're
stuff.
They're actually like genuine. Hey, sports.
Well, the guys who's like feel my nipples, like that guy.
Well, the idea that Al Michaels is secretly a sex pervert for young girls.
That's a good pot update.
That's I didn't really get that as a kid. His line, what does he say? Like, and it's just like 5 years ago, they were just in grade school. Yeah. Like, just back then, I'm like, yeah, because they're young. Now I wanted to vomit. So funny.
Hey, guys, live update.
What's up?
A girl I hooked up with a couple of weeks ago, she just sent me a text, and all it says are the words, I heard your podcast.
That happened right now? Oh,
have we mentioned her on the pod before?
Yeah,
I'm sure. Oh,
did you mention
remember the other week where I had sex with a girl and then came and do the podcast?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, when you got stoned?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Supposed to be seeing her again this week. That might be that.
Let's
to get
see what
off.
Happens there.
stereotypical nerd. Yeah. It's so flat.
The explanation is I get it chemically straightened, which means I have to get it as keep it as flat and dry as possible for 3 days so it like sticks to my skull.
But why?
Why do I get it chemically straightened?
Yeah.
Because I can't have an afro, man. I can't go back
but
to that
your
life.
Your hair is bushy already and that's
yeah,
fine.
No, but
can't
when it's naturally,
it
it's like,
that?
If I don't do the chemical straightening, it's like tight curls and like it grows out.
I was talking
I
about
look
this
ridiculous.
With Kiri and he was like...
But keep in mind that you're...
You, hold on, you and Kiri were talking about my hair?
Yeah, because I was telling him the thing and he goes, why is a grown man spending 3 hours getting his hair chemically straightened?
Wait, well, hold on, what's he... Oh, grown men should only be interested in industry, capitalism and investment. Like, it's he was such
exactly.
a...
Exactly.
Is that what he thinks a man is? He thinks that's what it is to be a man?
Yes, and he's right. That's why Rose quit. She's a socialist.
Wait, so if I'm a socialist, I have to...
You have to have straight hair, I guess. I don't know what
man,
the point is.
This is
but my thing about
Marxism.
This is... My thing is that, like, you're 28. Like, at what age are you going to, like, be like, okay, this is starting to look like that photo on Tumblr of the emo dad.
Yeah, emo dad. Chris Angel is my perpetual fear.
Well, that's what I was saying to Chris. I was like, how long when Andy's 42 and he has... Well, one legitimate kid, probably 5 or 6 out of wedlock. But they're like, Dad, why do you have a tattoo of an avocado with a knife through it? And he's just like, I don't know, I'm a fucking loser. That's why, maybe. Yvette, shut this little brat up. I'm going to smoke a dupe and go to an open mic and try out some new material. I'm 47.
Oh, man.
I already told Amy that. I said to her, if I'm still...
Is there a question in there, or was that just a...
No, no, that's just a slam. That's just a body slam, maybe. Wrestling.
You know, they say you only roast the ones you love. Like, sometimes we make an exception.
Not me. I love Andy so much.
Oh, man.
He's my best friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm glad to see... You know, just the people who are interested.
But also,
in what
we
I've been
love
up to.
Rose as well. So.
Yeah. No, I don't know, man.
But you can't roast me because otherwise you go to jail for hate crime.
That's true. You dirty liberal pinko.
Love that loophole.
Fine.
We got to find a way to get around this. just like put a strap on and you and be like, fair game.
Well, there's one in my room.
All right, let's take turns wearing it and take photos for the podcast.
I'm okay.
And then let's fuck each other with it as well. That'll bring us together closer as podcast hosts. Two guys with penises but wearing the strap on because...
I've done it. I've tried it. I tucked everything back and had a go.
How big's the strap on compared to the dong?
Yeah, good question.
It's maybe like a little bit smaller than the dong.
So like much bigger than mine or Andy's, which is exactly the same size and has the freckle and exactly
Look,
the
I can
place.
Show you later.
We should get... You know how the other episode we were talking about Rose getting a mold of her dick? Mm. Well, what if we got molds of our dicks too, and then we just like...
Docked them.
No. No, like I was thinking like you could have the mold of my dick and you can put it up in your house, and I'll have the mold of your dick and put it up in my house. And that way it's like we're always together.
And even if I move country or something,
the
removalist will be like, do you need to chuck this out?
Take the mold of my dick.
I said the other day I was going to get mine made and then bronzed and then put it on the hood of my car.
That's pretty
good. That'd be great. Yeah. Carve in a Mercedes.
Now I just
got to
get a car.
You know.
Put it on a fixed gear bike. Yeah. Or just put it on go get cars around.
Or just walk holding it in the air.
Put it on a.
Like the breakfast
the
club. Just
put it on a belt buckle. Put it on some earrings.
Well, if you put it on a belt buckle,
testicle on an earring.
Scale model earrings.
If you put it on a belt buckle, that just is a strap on dildo.
Yeah.
Right? Unless it's going directly up, in which case you can't bend over anyway because it's poking you in your sternum.
Yeah.
This is true.
But I was saying to Amy...
I appreciate that you gave me that much length. This is all the way to the sternum.
Yeah, I can't bend very far.
Hey, this is Tom Walker. You're about to listen to a clip of me on this podcast that you're already listening to. We'll just tell your mother we ate it all with my friends Rosie, Hastings, and Jamie Kirk. We're talking about Jackass, I believe. I've been asked to do this, and I'm more than happy to. I enjoy doing the podcast, and boy, do I miss... watching movies with my friends. Anyway, hope you're good. Hope they're good. And I'm just going to send this to Jamie's email address, which is, and let me see that I get this right, jamie.kirk@gmail.com. So I'm going to send something over there, and why don't you send something over there too? All right. Ooh, actually, sorry, jamie.kirk_1@hotmail.com. Keeping himself humble. You love that. All right, bye. I saw Jackass live once.
Yeah, please.
Tell us about that. This is one of the reasons we wanted you to come.
Oh, really? Because I'd almost forgotten this. But I went, I paid the laudable sum of $69
for a ticket.
Oh, fuck yes, go off, Bam.
To watch
Elon Musk set that price to Chris
to watch Jackass. The meet and greet was $10 extra, but it was not available by the time we bought our tickets.
I assume Johnny Knoxville would was you have not done part it if of it this
was?
Tour.
It was a reduced roster.
Oh, yeah. Can I guess who they are?
Sure.
I reckon Steve-O is definitely part of it.
No. No.
Fuck.
Steve-O
right.
I think Wee Man.
Preston?
Preston?
I know what it was because you told me before.
Pontius?
Yes, the long-haired man.
Yeah.
Yes, Pontius.
And Aaron McGeehee, I reckon.
No.
He might be out.
Try one more. One last
think,
guess.
Think along that line.
I'm trying to
Dave
think.
England?
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's my favorite one.
Who was the biggest star? Who got the biggest reaction?
Wee Man, absolutely.
You think it was Wee Man, right?
Yeah, Wee Man closed out the night. But the night, to be fair, opened. It was around October last year, I guess. And the only reason I remember that is because they opened the show with Preston Lacey coming out in a Halloween mask for no reason. And then taking the mask off and proceeding to do 10 minutes of stand up.
Yeah.
Which
say the first joke because it's one of the best jokes I've heard.
Oh, at every opportunity. he comes up so to the microphone. To Preston Lacey begins with, I'm a big fan of S&M. Spaghetti and meatballs.
Man, that is.
It's so good.
And
good
a pall shit. Sets over the room as we realize what we've signed up for.
What?
It's at an RSL. We're all sitting at tables. Yeah. There's a mother, a father, and a daughter clearly sitting in front of us. I'm there with like Sam Campbell, Willie Remia, Henry Stone. And we're just watching this night unfold for them. Yeah. They leave during Wee Man set. Dave England does his set. He comes out holding a towel. Just a white, clearly hotel towel, puts it down on the stool, and then says, sorry, guys. I know I just came out here, but I'm going to have to leave because I have to do a shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to do a shit. And everyone's like, no.
Shit on the towel.
Well. Or I could do a shit right here.
Yes.
What do you guys think? And everyone is like, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
And he just puts he lays the towel out on the floor, squats over it, and proceeds to do the tiniest shit I've ever seen. He then folds the towel over and kicks it with his foot to the back of the stage. And then does 10 minutes of stand-up and stories.
He opened, and it was just going to stand-up.
Yeah, he opened with it. Yeah. Now there's a turn at the back of the stage for an hour.
That's got to be your closer,
Yeah.
Is there any point where all of them are on stage together?
The very end, which is part of Wee Man's thing, where he gets two women up on stage.
Sure.
And then
I like where this is going.
Oh, okay, here's my theory. There are three types of areola.
Great. Oh god!
And then he pressures them into showing their breasts. One girl took up her shirt but left her bra on.
Why
it was clearly not into it.
Yeah.
And then Wee Man was like, "No, you have to do it. Come on!" And got the other girl to take off her bra and make her flash this audience of Jackass fans. Oh. By the way, throughout this entire show,
how many women were there in the audience?
Enough that finding two to get up on stage took a while.
Yeah.
Throughout this entire show, the soundtrack to it was coming from just behind us, not from a speaker, but from the assisted breathing apparatus attached to a man who was sitting in a giant motorized wheelchair. Wearing a tour shirt. It was just a fucking... It was a real dark time.
How did we not go to this?
Yeah, I'm upset that we didn't.
Yeah, we...
Probably
Man
the
is,
price tag would have stopped me.
Yeah, $69 and a, you know, getting out to Chatswood RSL. It was not a great time.
You should well, do...
You, well, you just said earlier today that someone as a birthday gift gave you a calculator and lube.
Yeah. That was very disrespectful.
I saw the rotten end of your hammer.
I harbour a grudge of that.
You should do that trick in your shows. Then maybe you would have won the award.
Do a bit of a trick.
Yeah.
Are you trying to bully Dan?
Yeah. Oh, that was a good one.
The emasculations are over. It's 2019. Now every time someone disrespects me, I assign it a numerical value out of 10, like from 1 to 10, and then I put it in an Excel spreadsheet. And then I add it up, and once it passes a numerical threshold, I launch a revenge fantasy.
Oh, man.
And let me tell you, it involves hammers.
The best part of that is if you know Dan, it's obviously true.
Yeah.
Hello, babies. It's Alexi Toliopoulos, your dear friend here, wishing you a congratulations on your second anniversary of this very, very funny podcast. Truly, I am honoring you right now. You are three of the funniest cunnies that I've ever met. Truly, three of my funniest friends. I love listening to you three riff together, and I have very, very fond memories of the last time that I was on this podcast, which I believe was a year ago on your first anniversary for one of my favorite movies of all time, the movie Superbad, and it inspired Jamie to tell to this very day one of the funniest freaking stories I've ever heard in my entire life, where he tells the story inspired by Superbad about an awkward encounter that he had in university during a tutorial. I think about it constantly. It is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. I'm not overstating that. I think about it maybe every 5 days or so and just burst out into tears laughing about the story. Oh my god, Jamie, you have to make that into a movie. If not, I'm going to steal it from you myself. Congratulations, gang. I can't wait till we can all hang out again. And I hope that it's at the Powerbomb Comedy Festival. You guys do so much amazing stuff for comedy. So it's a great achievement to be included in your second anniversary episode. I love you very much. Stay safe and let's hang out soon. Not too soon. When we're allowed to hang out. I love you, like I said, but not enough to break restrictions and endanger myself and others and stuff. But I do love you and I do miss you. I will talk to you on the phone in the meantime. So, yeah. Love you, babies. Bye.
Michael Cera's performance in this movie is so fucking good and so funny. That moment when he gets trapped in the bedroom and he's trying to walk out, but then the guy shuts the door and he just slightly turns and has to stay in the room. He could have just asked, like, oh, I'm on my way out.
Yeah.
And then, like, and then he gets forced to sing.
The singing is so funny.
It's so good. It's such a funny moment. And so it's very real because he's like, what's the bad thing that would happen if he said, oh, I'm not that guy's brother.
Yeah. So, no, it's not me. Can I get out of the room?
It's just like
I think he's worried that he'll get beaten up.
Yeah.
Or he's worried that it'll be embarrassing.
Yeah.
I identify with that.
Yeah. Oh, I don't have a pen either.
Yeah, I would have fucking sung for those guys.
Can I just sing my essay out loud, please?
That's so funny.
He acts where he accidentally touches her boob.
Yeah, is great acting. Oh, the horror. Have you done that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I've done that.
Well, because you know you touch it, he actually punches it.
Yeah, it's like the sound effect on it is like, fuck, that sounds painful.
Yeah, yeah.
And her performance she's taken it back.
Lady tits now.
Well, I got man tits as well. No, but so I can relate.
But it's different because like lying on these is painful.
Yeah.
Like pushing against them.
I've been punching the man titty and I'm like, I know, I feel ya. Feel that lady. I was empathizing the wrong side of the moment in that scene.
Hey, Jamie, when you wrote this essay, how long was it?
It was about like a page and a half.
And you didn't realize like four. Like you didn't realize 4 words in that this plan wasn't going to work. Like it's so immediately clear that this plan won't work.
What was the thought?
Like just don't bother writing anything. It's so much less embarrassing to just go,
what
I didn't
was going
pen,
through your head?
I didn't write anything.
When you had run out of pages.
Rather than just not writing
and
anything.
And had to move on to the second page.
Well, it sounds silly when you guys say it, but you weren't there.
Like the look,
you
I imagine
the question, Jamie. What was going
the look on your face as you're like, fold one bit over and
better proceed
what
with this plan.
When I finished the first page, honestly, I was like, wow, I can't believe I did this for a whole page. That's pretty cool.
Did you see
so
the
now you've got to like, you got
you
a
can see the
indentation,
yeah.
Was How there any, like, I need to
you
know.
You could probably read it.
But was it like the pen is not working fully, but there is some shit coming out?
No. It's completely dead.
Purely, like you may as well have done it with a stick.
It's all indentation.
Might as well be
it's all indentation.
I may as well just like put my fingernails into it and scratched into it.
I considered that.
Oh.
Yeah. How did you not? Because just not writing anything at all, and you're going, sorry, this is embarrassing, but I didn't write anything. I haven't got a pen. That's so much less embarrassing than going, try read this. Like, it's so fucking.
The guy that swapped with you, what was the immediate reaction? Because there's no way you've forgotten that moment.
He was
the moment you revealed to
that's
someone else.
Deeply burnt into the brain.
He was pretty confused.
Oh, what is this shit? Do I have to shine a UV light on it? Like, is this invisible ink or some shit?
Okay.
This is uni, man. It's not fucking primary school.
You can't bring your little spyware gift shit in here.
I swear this is how it happens. Like, I know that you say I should have had it, like, ingrained, but, like, I can't quite remember, but I think what happened was that he looked at
You've repressed the memory.
He looked at it.
But that's why we're getting at him to dig it out.
I think
I want to get out you right now and, like, spin this little teacup, just, like, unlock the fucking memory. I got to know every detail.
So I think he looked at it, looked at me, and then said, what is this? And I said to him, that's
fair question.
And I said to him, that's my essay. You might need to look a little hard to read it.
Did you tell him why?
Well, like, he said, what happened? Right. And I said, my pen ran out of ink. And the
start of
started.
The essay, yeah.
And I didn't want to bother people. And I didn't know what to do. And that was when he said, I have a pen.
Like, you could have just
did
asked
you
me
then
for
quickly
a
like I'm gonna run it across the indentation to try
yeah, that's what yeah, I was yeah, I was yeah, like man yeah. You could probably do it yeah. Like,
no, at that point he kind of like looked at me and was like, I'll cover for you, and wow. Just like didn't chose not to
he
read
just
it.
Freestyle
oh, right.
Read
so
your
he
exit
out because I thought the next part was just gonna be that he was immediately summoned.
Oh, miss yeah.
No
yeah.
it would have been bad for him to fucking have to read the indent yeah. Essay.
Do you know what would have been amazing?
But he could have thrown you under the bus massively and been like, well, I can't fucking read this because idiot here wrote it in chicken scratch.
He couldn't. Thankfully, he didn't.
Mm. At least he wouldn't have known your name because, you know.
It's uni.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, and because no one knows. It was just written.
Shit, no!
But the only way it could come around is if you had a pencil and just shaded over the whole thing. Then the
I mean,
you
could
yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's some freaking film noir shit.
Yeah,
yeah.
I could have used you 13 years
yeah.
ago.
Like. Dude, I could have whispered in your ear. Like,
well, you could have just asked to borrow a fucking pen. Like, yeah.
I was nervous.
Yes, I understand. He was 20 years old. It's hard. It's hard out there talking to people after 2 decades
so
of doing
much
it.
Sadder when three people tell it back to me.
Jamie, honestly, man. This is one of the greatest gifts of my life.
Yeah. It's really funny. Honestly, it's really
I'm
good.
I'm so glad that you saved this for the 1 year.
Episode 52, baby.
I'll never stop thinking about it. I'll never be able to.
I mean,
think
I don't think we could do much of a deeper dive on it. I think that's what happened. I don't remember the rest of the class ever finding out. Although that.
Did you
say said,
guy, did you
oh, that being said, my friend, no, the guy who did it with me is not Jordan. So he must have told someone.
Yeah.
Did you feel
horrible? Oh, no,
the
guy kept it to himself.
Did you think it was funny?
Well, I mean, yeah, not at the time.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking about at the time.
A little bit at the time, I was like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Like,
I can't wait to be
there was like a point where I was like a quarter way through the first page. I was like, you should have just fucking asked for a pen. Mm. But that's why I kept going, because I've like now been writing for 15 minutes. I've done a whole quarter of a page of this.
Oh my
if
God.
I pop up and say I was not writing the entire time, I'll look so stupid.
Then you'll look stupid. That's the point.
I thought I could finesse it.
But then you did it like my pen ran out of ink.
Yeah,
and
that's
then
good.
It's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, then they're like, oh, don't worry, just keep scratching it in.
Like a fucking serial killer.
Keep scratching it in. I'd love to just braille it out later and see what we could do.
I mean,
be a fun activity with the whole class to bond over bullying this weird boy.
What would you have done if you were in that situation, but it was like a test that you had to hand in?
Oh, good heavens.
Oh, good question. I probably would have handed it in.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have asked for a pen again.
I probably would have handed it in and explained to the teacher what happened.
There'd be honestly,
and then she'd probably think I was disabled.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm not convinced you're not.
Yeah. But I appreciate your honesty. No way that that's not the truth. What you just said, like, there's no way that you would have asked for a pen under any circumstances.
No, I honestly don't think there is. I would have. What I would have done is I would have handed it in. If it was a hand-in assignment, I can tell you 100%, I would have handed it in, I would have waited for every single student to leave, then I would have approached the teacher very quietly and explained what had happened and asked if I could make it up and hand it in afterwards.
Yeah.
And then, like, hope that they, like, saw some gentle good humor in it, maybe.
I think that would have been wise, but that... sorry, Jamie. I don't even know.
Everyone gets anxious.
Everyone gets anxious. Yeah. Yes, I've been anxious. Hastings is a,
not me, dude. You know, me. I'm a fucking rock.
Yeah,
yeah. He then threw up at the prospect of that, though. Like,
was drunk, it, like, dude.
You can smell her cologne.
But then at the end, like, happy ending. Yeah. And her, like, it was never like, gross.
Yeah.
So do you think in canon...
I mean, the joke is that he...
Yeah, of course. Wound up like, it's her, that one's in defense. I do think, though, when he's bending... Like, when Trey Park is bending over and is like, oh, come on, and then the K-dude walks past him and he suddenly props up, really.
That's right.
It's like, that's funny still.
Yeah. Yeah, man, good.
Like, you can't do it. Can't. And, like, How to Speak San Francisco.
The idea of jokes being good despite... current like that's a whole other pod, you know what I mean, like, we've like it's not, that's a whole,
it's the junkie thing. Podcast
yeah. Which I would love to be on this podcast. I a podcast where I say vaguely woke sounding things that are actually nonsense to justify me loving ironic racism.
You can't though, you're a double agent. That's just patriarchy,
exactly what I'm talking about. That would be me being
that's
a
you
agent.
Exhibiting
me using the words of
that
feminist.
Is what you and Sanderson do.
Yeah, maybe she's
got
a point.
She's right.
I am a double agent for the patriarchy.
Oh,
look,
no.
if fucking makes me, you know, whatever. I don't care. I can't be bothered having this argument.
If fucking, fucking makes me work.
No, but what I was going to say with the gay stuff and the trans. So in the canon of the universe of Basketball, like, Squeak sucks a dick. That's how that ends. Like, how does what happens?
Well, how do we know?
Post.
We don't.
She
know,
could be. She could be post-op.
Yeah,
that's true.
Or it could be a woman.
Yeah.
Like,
you just be an ugly woman.
Not a woman, Jamie. Okay.
Fuck. How do I respond to this?
It could be a cis woman.
Clementine Ford. junkie. Fuck. Consent. Yeah. See, I've got them all.
There
I know
go.
What
you
I'm
hit
doing.
Them all. Everything's
yeah,
okay.
I hit all three things. I'm still a feminist. I said the three magic words.
Man, they should use me in university as an example of just because you know the right things doesn't mean you're doing the right things.
Yeah.
That doesn't just...
I'm actively harassing women online while I'm doing
that
it.
That doesn't have to
in
just...
In one hand, Mike and the other being work.
Yeah. That doesn't have to just apply for feminism for you either. Yeah, it's just anything.
Yeah, it could be any of the isms.
Even though that he knows bucket hats are stupid. That should be the title of your next show, dude.
Nah, I'm gonna call it Cum Dumpster.
Oh, God.
The next title of my show, I pitched it to Ben Caution the other day. It's really long. I think it's quite good. It's called I'm 26, but I've discovered that being an adult and all the responsibilities that come with it are not quite as fun as being young and not having any responsibilities. Remember the 90s? Doug was a good show. How about having a Milo and then playing PlayStation 1? That was also pretty cool. Now I work at a bank and have to do laundry, and I wish I was just playing with my Beyblades.
That's
a good
the title,
title. Right?
So and also the entire content of the show, right?
I'm just so excited to walk on stage and say welcome and then and then lose my breath for 20 minutes, kind of like when Mitch Garling did that dance during his Fringe show.
Oh, no, really?
Hello, it's Andy welcoming you to part two of the We'll Just Tell You Mother We Ate It All Best Of. This next clip is from one of our absolute favorite guests, Tom Walker, came back to talk about the film Jackass 1, one of the best Thanks, dudes.
I was on the cocaine subreddit a little while back. And it is
/cocaine.
Man, yeah. It is so dire. It's all people posting just photos of lines of cocaine on different surfaces and going like, oh, this is my Saturday. And then be like, anyone want to chat? Like, no one's doing it. All these people are doing it alone. Man, and looking for people to talk to online.
That's so sad. If you find someone, if you find yourself on cocaine on the cocaine subreddit, looking for someone to talk to because you're on cocaine, I mean, at that point, just kill yourself. At that point,
it's
really,
really dire.
Or stop using cocaine, at least. Like,
the fact that cocaine has a subreddit is amazing.
Everything has a subreddit. But, like,
Oh, I love
I used to visit like ecstasy forums a lot because that was where you'd get information on like where the bad pills were. Like, it'd be like, oh, okay, I've got it. It's green. It's got pink flecks, and it's got a Mitsubishi.
What's this guy talking about? Fiona from Shrek? Princess Fiona from the Shrek franchise?
Save it for the other podcast.
I mean, like during mid transformation, is that what this guy's talking about?
Dude, you can't say that on this podcast, dude.
Yeah, anyway, so yeah, and that's and so yeah, because they were pretty like the way people would talk about MDMA on those were pretty funny.
Yeah,
just a lot of just like So I've had three. I'm not feeling so good 2 days later. Any ideas how I could cheer up? It's like you have serotonin poisoning, man. You've got to just man, just lie in bed and eat some fruit. Like I don't know.
Yeah, I read a bunch of like meth forums, and those are dark. Oh, those
that
are
would
fucking
not, be pleasant.
Not fun. People asking for tips. Yeah. A lot of people posting like, "Hey guys, I've been kicking around this idea for a while. Should I try some meth?" And just a bunch of people be like, "No, trust me, I did it. Don't do it. You'll think you're in control, but you're not." And then like like 5 days later, the OP posts again, being like, "All right, well, I took my maiden voyage. Things are looking great." Oh, no. Please, you can't make it this obvious.
It's a thing, running thing with the internet, I've noticed, is that certain types of personalities, they seem to, because I think because they found solace in the internet for other things, they start seeming to think that the internet can give them answers to any problem or solve any sort of solution.
Yeah.
Like, Paige Halley one time was telling me that she refuses to see a doctor without, or like a doctor or a psychiatrist or anything like that, without extensively researching it online. And so it's like, man, maybe sometimes you just got to solve this in the real world. Like, it's, she's just found that her solutions come from the internet.
I think that researching a doctor online, though, is pretty okay. Like, because you.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But it's, the way she was talking about it was very much like, you think that the answer for everything is online. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've just got another thing in my... Because, and this comes back to my podcast with my beautiful partner, Demi Lardner. my thing is that I try and find fucked websites and little communities of people. And one of the communities I found was guys who are very, like, self-conscious about their dick size and are trying to get them bigger.
Excellent.
And a bunch of them went to this one doctor who would install a surgically,
the word you want to hear around a penis.
A surgically inserted like silicone, picture a half pipe around
half
either
pipe.
Yeah, well, in this case it brings heaven to your wife. But and then they would all like post about them 3 months later being like, "I got a massively infected dick.
Oh no.
The edges on the implant started to show around it, and then I've had it removed. I've lost 90% of the feeling in my dick, and it's smaller than before."
That's great.
The cruelest irony of them all.
Across the board, they lost an inch of erect length from the length that they were displeased with before.
That's incredible.
Icarus. Yeah. Poor Icarus.
So I'm saying, if you're looking for a procedure like that, Google the doctor.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, it's Elliot J. O'Neill here, wishing a very happy 2-year podiversary to Rose, Jamie, and Andy. I love your podcast so much, and I'm really grateful that you are all guests on my podcast, The Simpsons Index. And here's one of my favorite clips from that episode where Andy tries to turn my show into the Sesame Street Index. All right, everybody, take care. Peace.
You're absolutely right. There are Bert and Ernie sketches that I still think are really funny. Genuinely, like,
they are.
They're really funny. I just had this particular tape when I was a kid, and I still remember. There's one of like Bert and a pigeon playing checkers. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's this great sketch. I'll tell you what happens very quickly. It's a great sketch where Bert, yeah, we're describing it's a Bert Ernie sketch.
It's also weird of it to think it is a sketch.
It is a sketch.
Yeah, it was written by Bob Odenkirk, I believe.
Yeah.
So Bert's playing
contributions from Jay Johnston.
Bert's playing checkers against a pigeon. Ernie comes in, he's like, "Oh well, Bert, you're playing," and you know, he's very impressed. And Bert's like, "Yeah, whatever, I don't care." And he's like, "No, this is crazy. How can you be more excited? You know, this is a pigeon playing checkers. It must be the smartest bird in the world." And then Bert goes, "Well, she's actually not that smart." And he's like, "What do you mean?" She goes, "Well, we played 5 times. She's only beaten me twice."
That's good.
But like a kid, that's very funny.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
Yeah. I'm a big Bert and Ernie fan. What can I say?
So, yeah, check out comedy sketch show Sesame Street. That's the official recommendation here.
It was the video it was on. It was the Best of Ernie and Bert DVD. I remember that it's called that because I always called them Ernie and Bert, not Bert and Ernie, because that's what my video was called. But they are like typically called Bert and Ernie. Yeah, watch that. It's also got the...
that's one for the fans.
That's what Friends Are For song. It's got the one where they go to Egypt and they're in like a pyramid or whatever, and he sings the Rubber Ducky song because he's scared. It's great.
I'm learning so much about you.
Yeah. This feels like you watched it recently.
I watched a couple of those sketches recently. Yeah. It's been a tough few months, guys.
Oh, look, when I'm feeling sad, I'll throw on some Tea the Tank Engine.
Why not?
Tea. Yeah.
I gotta get back into Dragon Ball Z. Anyway, go on. I think it shows that there's like a lot of that I can just like watch endlessly.
So episodes we like to watch again, we think about like what Simpsons playlist we'd like to put it in. So like what episodes sort of remind you of this one, share thematic elements?
I do like a Simpsons hidden talent collection. So
Bart being a ballet dancer.
Yeah, Bart being a ballet dancer is a great one. You do
Lisa on Ice
is a great one. Marge becoming a bodybuilder, maybe, though that's a bit later.
Marge is the cop.
Yeah, Marge is a cop as well.
Yeah.
I was thinking.
Such a good episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah, I like your playlist. I'm taking that. In fact, it was my idea.
Okay.
I'll edit the podcast so it reflects that.
Oh, you don't need to make an edit. We know who the alpha is.
I'll do one where it's kind of like my favorite Bert and Ernie sketches.
Yeah, I also like Grover. Anyway.
Yeah, Grover's sick.
Grover's dope. He's Yoda, dude.
Yeah.
I've been on a real Star Wars kick lately. So
oh,
good.
I know. Yeah. How'd you get spent from a lot of time around
Grover to Star Wars?
Yeah. Yoda, my dude.
Oh, he was the original Yoda. Okay, I misheard you then.
Yes.
Baby
Grover. Yeah. Baby Grover. Baby Grover's pretty good, but he's not cute. He's like fucked. It's like fucking disgusting.
It looked like, you know, when like a chicken is like white with that little black head.
When the Mandalorian finds Baby Grover, he shoots him on sight.
That's a one part series.
This is a crime against nature.
The boy ain't right.
Gross.
The boy ain't right. Mandalorian is Hank Hill.
This is the way.
I sell bounty hunting and bounty hunting accessories.
Sick.
Do you think that because I have two Berts, I'm the luckiest Ernie in the world?
Yes.
What?
They're my Berts. No. These two, they're my Berts.
More of a Betty, I hope.
I got girl Bert and boy Bert. I also have a wife. She's not really a Bert, though. She's more of a Snuffleupagus or a Big Bird. I don't really know what that means.
Well, Snuffleupagus implying that she's like an imaginary.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot he's imaginary.
Only you can see her.
Yvette's real, right? My wife's a real person.
I remember when we went to that big solo party you threw. Yeah.
The best man at my 29th birthday.
Yeah.
Celebrants just go along with it.
He's not right. He keeps talking about Ernie
Sign
and Bert.
Sign the papers, Andrew.
Man, so funny that I'm married.
It's truly bizarre.
I know. Oh man, Yvette walked in on me watching gay porn the other day. Whatever. She thought it was pretty funny.
It's all right. She's not real.
No one
walked in on you. You were just watching gay porn. And you were like, oh, this has been embarrassing.
The being walked in on is your subconscious being like, you should be ashamed of this.
Well,
Andrew,
I'd also already like... I was done jacking off. Like, I just left it running by accident. I went to the bathroom to like
and
clean
by that
up.
Point you become invested in the storyline.
I went to the bathroom.
I hope these two gents get it together.
I went to the bathroom to clean
they
up.
They really seem to love each other.
Uh. Hello, gentle listener. It's Jamie again. Our time together is almost at an end. However, we've got a great clip to go out on. This is from our American Beauty episode, where I come up with the title of our Melbourne Comedy Festival show, Fartin' and Rudin. I mean, this episode is probably made even funnier by the fact that Melbourne Comedy Festival and live stand-up comedy has collapsed as we know it. So if it comes back, please, you know, chuck some artists some money. Go see some shows. That'd be nice. Listen to our podcast. Recommend it to people. I've had a great time putting these clips together, and I've had a great time doing the show. Enjoy the clip.
Alison Janney.
Oh, baby.
Underutilized. She's
so
good.
Alison Janney. She's such a fucking good actress.
Oh, she's so good.
Man, what a goddess. She's so tall as well.
And so did you? Which word did you just use to describe her?
I said a goddess.
Oh, yeah. You mean like that show at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival starring Rose Piper, March 26th to April 19th?
Yeah, I heard about
in
that.
In the Mantra.
I heard that show was happening.
Oh, I thought Goddess was a Cassie Workman show for
us. Giant.
It was Giantess.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a completely crazy. Like,
yeah, I realized that like after I'd already submitted everything.
Yeah, I just made the connection.
Like, oh, God damn it. Like,
just then. I think you're fine. I think it's
totally I don't think it's a big
But it's
deal.
The year after
you,
as well.
You, the, also, like, comedically, the only thing you and Cassie have in common is that you're both trans. Like,
yes.
You are so
does Cassie
different.
Get
oh, yeah, we're very, very far from each other.
Do you know the optics on whether Cassie gets to run as best newcomer because she's now Cassie and not Michael?
Absolutely
not.
But also, she just did it and she got nominated for the top award.
She's won best newcomer already. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah. But, like, could you do it again?
No.
Like,
no, it's the same, like...
It's the same person.
It's, like, the same Medicare number. You know what I mean? Like, you're the same person. You just got a name change.
Yeah, but some people...
They have those things about, like, doing Raw and, like, being in a double act and shit.
There's some
like,
spreadsheet that exists in some government database and you have the same unique identifying number. You know what
I
mean?
Sure, but, like...
Well, I'm judging Raw again in a couple of days.
I'm, like, I'm not, like, trying to make a point about, like, wokeness or trans things either way. I'm just saying
I think
that,
you should.
Okay. Here we go. No, I'm saying that, like, saying...
Say it directly into my face.
Well, what I'm saying is that if I was trans, right?
Yes.
And I'd written my show...
Man, if you were trans, Jamie, things would be a little different.
I think it'd sound a little something.
Like this.
No, so, like, if I was trans and I'd written a show... that I was, say, immensely proud of about my coming out and whatever. I'd been working on the scene for the same amount of time I had. And then, like, I've done...
This is pretty similar to me so far.
Yeah, but, like, but the main difference being, like, I've done, say, like, Melbourne before as a solo run, but, like, as a bloke just being, like, Jamie Kirk's in Fartin' and Rootin'. Like,
oh, I would see that show.
Well, it's coming.
Hell yeah.
But, like, Jamie Kirk's in Fartin' and Rootin', and I'm just kind of like, well, that's not who I am, who I was. But I don't have a, I don't have a profile. So, like, if my amazing trans show, like, it's not going to go near the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Award because that's going to be full of, like, lifers and amazing acts and people that have been doing it and been doing it on the radar. Why am I denied Best Newcomer for what essentially to me is a newcomer show?
Yeah.
Because I'm abandoning my old persona.
So what you're
could
asking...
You probably present your case to them.
So what, that's what I'm saying.
What you're asking isn't, though, would Cassie automatically re-qualify? What you're asking for is if Cassie or you in this scenario put pressure on the festival, would they...
Yeah,
like, or just ask?
I agree, like, but
I think if
that's
think,
different.
I like, think pressure's the wrong
word. When you apply for the show, you tick the little box that said this is my first solo show. So you could do that and then just put a little note and be like, hey...
But then if someone... disagree. Like, so if Melbourne was like, no, sorry.
Man,
you
nudge them and, like, they'll probably have to move for you.
Can I weigh in? Because I have a strong opinion on this. If I was someone also going for Best Newcomer that year...
Fuck you.
Absolutely. Like, not even kidding. Absolutely fuck you.
Yeah, you'd be like, Fartin' and Rootin' was bad.
I'd be like, sorry you didn't win with Fartin' and Rootin', dog. Like, I don't...
Man, I
yeah, but you see, then I'd fucking...
believe Fartin' and Rootin' didn't win. I can't believe
But then I would probably... But then wouldn't... Yeah, but then wouldn't I be within my rights to say that that's transphobic? Of you to say.
And I'd say, no, it's not. Shut up.
You'd say, shut up, bitch.
Decide something's transphobic.
The eternal argument.
Wait, you don't think...
shut up.
You don't think trans people get to decide that something's transphobic? You do? Gatekeeper?
No,
white
yeah,
male?
Yeah, motherfucker.
I don't think one trans
I'm
trans
just standing here.
Does.
I'm standing in front
automatically
of you as a beautiful trans woman with my new trans hour after farting and rooting. And you're telling me
I can't wait to do my show
I'm
next year
you,
called...
That's not your first Melbourne hour. That's all
but it
saying.
Is. is my first Melbourne. No, so I'm saying, like, if Melbourne Comedy Festival then pushed back on me and was like, sorry, it's not.
Well, it's easier for me to take a position than it is Melbourne.
Well, it's easier for you to take a position because then I just like go in like a chat and tell everyone to cancel you.
Yeah.
But like if I...
I think people would take my side.
I don't think anyone would take your side.
Well, you really think that if a trans person is doing their second show, it should count as their first one?
If they wanted to.
I think in certain circumstances, I can see why
I can
would,
see the
obviously.
Argument,
like,
but I'm but looking like, at it from the perspective of a competitor.
I think it's void because they haven't really had to deal with that yet. And like the first case that they could have had to deal with it, they got nominated for the best show instead of best newcomer anyway.
But it's crazy.
They've already won
the
best
only,
newcomer.
Yeah, and
so
the only reason they didn't win the best show is because like one of the best shows I've ever seen was also on. Like
Farton and Rudin by Jamie.
Yeah. That won the MICF award last year, right?
Because best newcomer is defined by like a lack of experience. Like it's not defined by your identity as a person. It's defined by
but people who have
whether
been...
or not you've like you ha- if your skill level was reset, then sure. Like but you've done the show. You can't
but
take
then
that back.
I know because I would make the argument that my skill level was reset. Like not like I can still do stuff with a crowd, but I'm no longer doing farting and root. Like I can't be like I was at the pub with my mate Shido. Oh, and
see, that's the thing though. I have transitioned. I'm still doing farting and rooting.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I'm saying,
but now it's lady fart.
Well, I'm saying that like okay, so farting and rooting is the main title. The subtitle is a bloke's guide to navigating the murky waters of feminism, POCs, and all that nonsense. You know, so like, don't attack me. That's just the name of the show. I'm a beautiful trans woman now. So I'm saying like. My skill level, in a way, does reset because all I was doing before, it's not like Rose. I'm not like my, in Farnham Rudin, I'm not like Gardening Australia is my favorite show. Like a thing that can be done from both perspectives.
That talking, joke does not feature in Goddess.
I'm talking about like specifically ones where it's like, I'm fucking women. This is what it's like when I'm at the fucking urinal and stuff. And now I'm like, well.
So you're saying it's like your insecurity show that's totally masking everything that was actually going on.
Absolutely, that's what farting and rooting and the subtitle that I can't remember. Okay. But like I'm saying now that like I have made a conscious effort to, and not like a kind of like a
like your redemption show,
but not like a festival comic. Like oh, I throw everything out and go again. Like I throw everything out not because I want to test myself, but out of necessity. Like I'm not going to an open mic in a dress and doing farting and rooting.
No. I'm not questioning the legitimacy of the transness at all. I think I have the settling question. I think I have the
way. I threw nearly everything out. Like I pretty much had to start again.
Fair.
Yeah, so you would say
but
and
you,
like
you had,
I would
you
say
had
like
5 or 6 years experience of joke writing.
I had about 6.5 in.
Yeah,
already,
like that's
so.
Invaluable. You could throw
it like it helped me find my feet.
I wouldn't be as bad a comic as I was when I started.
It helped me find my feet quicker.
If you went
like,
for best newcomer now, you would still say you had 8 years of experience of doing.
Oh, unfortunately, Andrew already shut his load on that one.
Yeah, but like say if you were doing your so in this scenario, you are. Obviously, some sort of fucking right-wing guy because you just said you would deny my claim.
I'm not a right-wing guy. I'm Andrew Hastings.
Yeah, but in this...
You're forgetting that he's like this narcissist who's just so concerned about his ability to win best newcomer,
I'm saying
even though you...
Can I ask my
that ship
I think,
has sailed.
You go, but then
all right,
I have a question
here we
for
go.
Rose.
I'm laying down what's happening
here. Yeah.
I
love American Beauty.
Yeah. And that is why Kevin Spacey is innocent. Thank you, America.
Yeah.
No, so what I'm
saying. Yeah, we able to say another way.
Make your point. Yeah.
So in this scenario, once again, I lay out clearly. Mm-hmm. I was a middling to good, reliable MC, like male comic.
Throw out a name. Don't throw out a name. Keep
Jamie
going.
Kirk. that is...
Oh, you're great.
That, like, got, like... That went to Melbourne before, like, in a non-festival-managed venue, did my show Farting and Rooting for 28 days.
Yeah.
And didn't get any...
The whole band, 28 days, came to watch your show, Farting and Rooting?
I fucking ripped it up, and they checked this style.
A vulgar display of Farting and Rooting was not received. As you know.
A man's guide to navigating the murky waters of feminism, POCs, and all that nonsense.
Look, if I win an award this year, unlikely, but if I do, like, I'd be so tempted to call my show Farting and Rooting next year.
You should. But then you have to give a little commish to the commissioner.
But
anyway, so like I'm
call him that.
Laying it out.
It would make sense. Oh, actually, I don't want to spoil something.
Yeah, this episode's taken a glorious turn. So I did find a no reviewers came to it. Like, people liked the show well enough. Like, it was kind of like...
How many stars?
Well, there were no reviews. Like, I got... I got one Funny Ton review that was 3.5 stars. It was like this...
Oh, that's not a great Funny Ton review. You want at least 4, I reckon.
But it's like, this bloke's funny, and, like, it was a bad night. Like, it was a Tuesday, half off tickets on it. But, like, my run, like, I was averaging 10...
Hang on, can I just make a joke that only Hastings will enjoy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, Funny Ton reviews are like Meltzer with, like, Okada versus Omega.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
They're giving out, like...
Nine stars!
Yeah, they're giving out, like, 7-star reviews. Yeah. Anyway, keep going.
So, once again, I'm a beautiful transformer. I did that, and I got the Funny Ton review. I was bringing in, like, 20 people a night, but I got no industry...
20 a night's not bad.
Yeah,
but, not bad, good size.
Actually, you're right. I was getting in 5 to 10. And, like, on Saturdays, I was getting in 15.
Yeah, let's
say. Hastings, would you say that's a good number?
That's fantastic numbers. Kill for those numbers.
So,
that's like Queen at Wembley.
On After Me is who I think is a friend, but seems an angry, bitter young man called Andrew Hastings.
On After You.
Yeah, who supports fun and rooting. But then
he's just had a bad year.
Yeah, okay? He's had a bad year. He just got married.
He's had a terrible year and he got married.
So now what's happened is I've done Fart and Ruin, but I'm like, I feel like this is the time I finally got to come out as who I really am.
Yep,
I reveal myself as trans. Andrew Hastings immediately does not support me, apparently.
Whoa, whoa.
Well, you just said you fucking complain.
Does feel similar to someone I know.
I wouldn't officially complain, but I would privately complain, absolutely.
Yeah, Andrew Hastings.
Not for you being trans, but
Andrew Hastings publicly supported my transition, but privately was like, I reckon he's doing it to win awards, and that's right. I said, "Hey,
hang on,
hang on."
This opens up another line of questioning: what private complaints has Hastings made in the in like the immediate aftermath of me coming out?
Yeah, man, I couldn't remember, but here's a big list. I don't think so.
Were there any?
No,
I'm very supportive.
Yeah,
you
no. This is not about. This is not an analog for you. This is me being trans. Yeah. You exist.
Yeah. I believe you're entitled to run for Best Newcomer.
Thank you. This is actually the first hour of
Zone
Melbourne.
He's still, but if
Reese Piper had done Spirit of the Staircase in 2014 and was now doing Goddess, 5 years removed.
The 5 years changes it a little.
Interesting. Matt O'Kine had about an 8-year gap. He did an hour and then
before
waited
being
like,
black and then won Best Newcomer.
Yeah.
Why aren't we complaining?
He also drew Best Newcomer with Ronnie Cheng, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because Newcomer does not mean best open micer.
It means best person
with a full festival show.
Right, and so Matt O'Kine had done one and then didn't, apparently, is what Rose is saying.
No, but he had done...
And if you're like 8 years later, like it's so different.
Maybe. Well, I'm waiting 8 years then.
So anyway, well, you can't do it anymore.
Well, you got to wait 16 years because you've done it twice.
Yeah, that's true.
So at this point...
Jeez, I wonder what Andrew Hastings' comedy will be from 16 years
I take
now.
Like a 2 to 3 month break from comedy to sort myself out and write new material.
Yeah, of course. Very
don't feel comfortable about going on stage the way I look and whatever.
I came out... I came out...
Cactus Cheers.
Well, that was the first place I did it, but like I came out... in the January, and I think I waited about 2 months. Like, I was still gigging.
You
but
could probably see. I think we posted something on Instagram.
Yeah, I think it was about 2 months later in March. But, like, I was still... I didn't stop gigging, but I just wasn't ready to go up.
Yeah.
Is that yet? Because I didn't really have any material.
So, I'm back, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not changing my name. It's still Jamie Kirk.
Yep.
Because it's...
That's fair. That's fine. That doesn't come into it.
My sister just had a baby called Jamie, and part of that choice was they gave it a sort of gender... It's born assigned male at birth, but they gave it that name sort of in case anything like me might happen, which I thought was quite nice of her.
That's why I'm going to call my kid Hastings, because I know he's going to be sick as hell.
I give
him no other option. I was like, you have to have sex and eat directly out of an avocado.
Even when you make that joke, I can't imagine like the blank that you'd get from Amy.
Well, I was like, the only way...
Andrew's a cute name.
The only way... No, I'm saying Hastings.
Yeah,
the only way I'd get around it now, which I'm like, I'm exposing myself because my wife will listen.
You're exposing. Like, oh, he is exposing himself. Sorry. Oh God!
I'm wearing my
I'm
wearing my Sam Taunton shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would expose myself by saying, I never came into it, Andrew Hastings. I was basing it off Hastings Ruckel, who is a Friday Night Lights character, who I quite enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And Hastings can be a boy's name. But anyway, that's way besides the point.
Yeah.
I've come back. Yeah.
God, this is the longest, like, hypothetical.
I know, but look how much it's fueling.
Did we get to the end?
Yeah, yeah. You reboot your career.
I've rebooted my career.
Yeah.
I've started, like, I'm carving out, and I'm telling you the whole time, I think you're my friend, but it seems like you're not based on what you've been saying.
Very supportive.
I'm back in, I'm hanging out with, like, the guys and the girls again. I'm trying to make, and I'm like, I'm going to write this new show. It's, like, no material I've ever tried before, and in the middle, there's a big personal through line about the journey I've been through. Maybe there'll be songs. Maybe there'll be an audio-visual element. Who knows? Yeah. And you say to me, good job, but then you text Charlie and you're like, bitch.
If you say I'm going to Melbourne, I would say, man, that sounds sick. I'm so happy for you. I hope to see you there. I'm doing an hour. I'm doing my first hour this year.
Dude, you shouldn't do another hour.
It'd be great.
Okay, well, let's have this conversation now. So I'm Jamie Kirk, beautiful trans woman. It's Melbourne.
And I'm Andrew Hastings, but I haven't done an hour yet. Because I've got to be in running.
Okay, so I'm like, oh, hey, Andrew.
Am I the referee or something?
Yeah.
Well, you can just say you came down for a beer. I'll be like, all right, so we're going to Tudor.
I'll do that. Speaking of which.
So the trans women are ganging up on me.
I brought my other trans friend.
The muscle.
Muscle. I brought a bouncer. So, okay, so we sit down. Hey, Andrew, man, it's good to see you. Would you like a beer?
I would love one.
Yeah, make the woman pay for it. Yeah. But, which I believe Rose is a dunce. Yeah.
Does transitioning also clear the beers you owe me?
I don't owe you anything. Okay, so like I'm thinking of doing this show for Melbourne this year.
Oh man, that's sick. That'd be
great.
And
it's going to be like a show about my transition, so it's all going to be material that I've done. And like, what do you think about, like, because I respect your opinion as a comedian.
Yeah, that sounds great.
See,
this scenario is wild.
Yeah, no, but I was just saying.
Oh yeah, Melbourne will be good. Hope you get a good venue. Yeah, see, whatever.
Yeah. Quick side note, we're back out of the conversation. I'm doing this to butter him up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. Well, like
he's
like,
not actually being very responsive.
Well, like, in
like,
real
that
life.
That was pretty dismissive.
In real life,
said,
I think.
Like,
yeah, in real life.
Spot on.
In real life, as a strong, masculine man, I think Andrew Hastings is a very funny man, but this is Jamie Kirk.
Yeah.
And I respect your opinion comedically a lot, and I'd like, do you mind if maybe you go over my show with me?
Of course,
and, like,
anytime.
Like, I don't want you to direct it or anything. I think, like, if we could, like, do some bits, maybe
we could tool some stuff. Yeah,
maybe
sure.
I could even take a look at yours if you like. Are you doing Melbourne?
Yeah,
this
I'm
year?
Doing it, Melbourne. I'm actually going for Best Newcomer. It's my first time. I'm like, I think I got a pretty good shot.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Can I stop again? Wild. Again, this story is wild.
Okay. I'm just like, oh, really? So you're doing a show? Like, what's it called, man?
It's called Vulgar Display of Comedy 2.
Really hoped you
because the first one went so well in Sydney.
I really hoped you were going to say Vulgar Display of Farting and Riffing.
Oh, man. That's
Farting and Rooting.
That's about my dad.
That's so interesting, Andrew, because, like, you'd think, like, you know, with, like, marketing-wise, you wouldn't want to go to Melbourne as Best Newcomer and call a show Vulgar Display of Comedy 2.
Yeah.
You know, you've always... You know, that's what I've always respected about you, Andrew. You've always blazed your own path. Critics and peers be damned.
Yeah, man. Like, I think people will get that, like, what I'm trying to do.
Cool, man.
Oh, I haven't seen you crack up like that for a while.
That was just the best little bit of business agency. Man. All right. So we had that laughter was all a sidebar.
Yeah.
We're back. Yeah. Okay. So I think it'll be good.
You think people get
it? Yeah, I got high hopes. Yeah.
Yeah. High, oh, that's a great Panic at the Disco song, Andrew.
Not for me.
Dude, you're not drinking your beer fast enough. No, this is still in the scenario. Yeah,
so
yeah.
what are you thinking like for your poster?
Okay, so it's me.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good start.
Yeah.
And okay, like you're gonna have to stick with me here for a second.
Yeah.
I'm dressed as a woman.
Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then
seems kind
of
sus.
Me yeah. as well.
It's a little offensive to both of us. Yeah. But, you know.
Is me dressed as a man is strangling that woman.
Oh god.
Now the face of me dressed woman is obscured in the image.
Can we sidebar for a second? Is like we've mentioned that I have a new housemate and we're being very loud and like that will come across really bad if she could hear that because she doesn't know the past of the previous poster.
I also want to say back in it's. Yeah,
you
man.
Should actually say that. That is a parody of the poster
where you
were being punched in the face.
Yeah.
People thought that it was a woman being punched in the face.
Listen to the episode Andy's Uh-Oh Part 2 for full details.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're back in, and now that you've said that thing about your poster, I'd be like, oh, interesting. This odd that you've got such a kind of misogynistic poster, and you also haven't acknowledged that Rose is even here sitting with us having
That's
a beer.
That's true, yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Like, say hi to her at least.
Oh, shit. Sorry, I didn't say. What's up, man?
Oh, what's up, man?
Whatever.
Okay, so. And do you have.
Doing
like,
irony.
Do you have like an.
Oh, God.
Are you like. Do you have like an FMV or anything?
No.
Yeah,
what venue are you doing?
Okay, so it's near. Okay, so you know like Hairy Little Sister behind Melbourne Town Hall, like where the hub is?
Yeah, so it's like 10 suburbs
so
over from that. Right?
West Carlton.
It's glowing up.
Yeah, it's
it's in the little amphitheater at Prince's Park.
Yeah, well, there's a little...
I don't even know if there is one of them.
There's this really beautiful... It's like this 40-seat theater in sort of like... It's a few suburbs out of the way, but like it's worth the trip. There's this really beautiful theater. It's 40 seats, low ceilings. The guy who runs the venue is amazing, really good with marketing and promo stuff. So he's got a cousin who rents out the fire escape. And I've got like a little... there's no microphone, but there's like an echo... so it's like, yeah, it's going to be sweet.
You know what, man? Like, I know that you've dealt with, like, adversity in your career, and like, but, thank like, you. I think that, like, you could really make that work. Mm. Like, you're funny enough, and you can call attention to it. So
yeah.
I just want to, like...
I think it's going to be my year.
Do you mind if I just run some stuff by you about my show?
Yeah, of course,
like,
please.
I've talked to Rose about it already.
Yeah,
but, like,
course.
I just wanted to talk about it with you and get your
perspective. Oh, in this scenario, I've already won the MICF Award for Best Show.
Yeah, so I already...
I'm not threatened.
Yeah, this show's set in 2025.
Yeah. Well, 2021.
Well, Rose is directing my show.
Oh, cool,
oh
great.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah, I think it's great to have, like, the MICF Award winner go for my show.
Fantastic.
So, like, I've been talking, like, because I've, like, you know, like, I know we haven't been hanging out as much because, like, I've made friends with, like, a lot of the women in the comedy scene now. And,
I've been busy.
Yeah.
You have to fucking get the win.
Yeah, you really?
You have to get the win.
I've just been busy. Like, I've had a lot on lately.
I guess you could say we've both been busy.
Yeah. Well, I've been really busy.
Yeah, that's great, man. You're making this really hard for me.
As if he wouldn't be in real life, too.
Oh, god damn it. I've been, like, you know, because I've, like, since this transition, like, I've been, like, meeting, like, other people and, like, hanging out with other people.
Cool, man.
I feel like I've been talking to, like, people with FMVs and, like talking to them. I think I'm gonna get an FMV. Like, that's pretty...
Oh, man, that's
like
great.
That's pretty cool, right?
Man, that's gonna be huge for you.
Yeah,
didn't get one before you came out, I noticed.
No, but like...
No, just like, I don't mean anything by that.
But it sounds like, is there something like you want to say to me?
Like, no, that's great. I reckon, like, have you like looked at applying for the Gibbo?
You guys are going to get into a fight.
I'm using
that's
being
why I'm here.
Trans.
I've got to get in
like,
in
what
in
are you
hanging out
with Charlie and Jamie?
Yeah. No, that's cool. FNV, like, have you, like, I mean, you could maybe go for Best Show or, like, maybe even the Gibbo.
Well,
like,
I don't think
doing,
I,
like,
I don't
trans
think I could,
stuff, like, Gibbo's probably a good option.
I don't think I could go for Best Show, you know, because, like, I'm...
Yeah, right.
Like, it's my first...
Hang on, I need a sidebar again.
Okay.
He's telling you to go for the Gibbo, and you're like, trans stuff, that's good for the Gibbo. The group chat, I think it was yesterday.
I believe it was this morning.
Oh, it was yesterday. We were,
talking
about
arguing about what qualifies you for the Gibbo.
He's like, isn't it just fucking weird shit?
Like, it has to be like a high concept show, like, you know, the clowning or being trans.
Okay, so back in.
That's not a high concept.
It's a joke, right?
So, like, I don't think I'll go for the Best Show because, you know, because people have been doing it for so much longer than me. And, like,
I'm going to be the first person to win it twice.
Yeah, and, like, Tom Walker's got a great new show.
Yeah,
like, he's doing, like, clown prov now.
Yeah,
he's calling it.
Oh, can I just timestamp a prediction? Winner of the top one this year, Kat Cohen.
Okay, sure.
What's that?
I don't know, Kat Cohen.
From New York. Oh, does cool. like kind oh, of like right, right, cabaret right. comedy stuff. She's so funny.
Yeah. I think it's going to be
that's my pick.
Tom Walker.
Tom, yeah. Tom, not a bad shout.
Could be Jenny.
Yeah. I hope it's Cambo again.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
You can't win it twice.
Yeah, I know, but his blurb about they'll give it to me again. So have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
If you go on it, it's like, I reckon Sam will win the big award again.
That's great.
Okay, so back in, because we got to end this episode really soon. I mean, yeah. not episode, we're just hanging out.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'd go for that.
That was the sidebar. Now we're
so
hanging out again.
More traditional stand-up, so not
and like,
Gibbo.
You know, like, yeah. You surely remember, because you've been friends with Rose for longer than me.
Yeah, absolutely.
That, like, Rose did Best Newcomer in 2020, and then she won the Transphobic.
Yeah.
Sometimes even I make mistakes.
yeah.
Jay, you've been watching my shows, haven't you?
Yeah.
It's amazing that I've been keeping this going.
Yeah.
I mean, and by keeping this going, I'm not talking about being trans, which I am 100%. But like, so yeah, Rose won it, and
I've just been busy.
Yeah. I'm not talking about like. Sometimes that's the problem with you. I felt it when I was a guy as well. There's like, you always have to get the last word, but like, I just want you like to do what you were doing before, like support me when I was
doing support me. Of course, anytime. I've just got a lot of gigs.
So
let's just end this fucking episode.
So I'm not going for the Gibbo either, because like, you know, like I don't, you know, man, like I don't do like weird ass fucking cabaret.
Oh no, hang
shit
on, this one will get him. He hasn't shared this news with you yet, but as happens when you come out as trans, Jamie's actually with Token now, so he's well, got no, representation.
I'm talking to people. I was at Charlie's last night. I was
I can like ask.
I was hanging out with Yaz. He used to work at the Comedy Store.
Well, if you want, man, like because we've been friends for so long, like I'm kind of like in talks with Token right now. Like I might like do like a preview at the store. You could open for me if you want.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I could do that. Yeah, definitely. I could be free. I haven't got a lot on at the moment, so I could probably.
what days?
That's a very human.
I know that you said you have a lot of gigs, but like, what days could you do?
I mean, what's today? January the 16th right
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
I think, that's what day of the week is it?
It would be like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday run.
Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Like what one?
No, like,
you got 3 days, oh, okay. Just 3 days
free? I'm free. I can do it.
Okay, cool.
Full 3 day block free?
I mean like.
I got 52 free, full 3 days free. God, yeah, I'm free.
Sorry.
Free Thursday, Friday, Saturdays.
I don't mean to bring everything back to newly trans Jamie Kerr.
No, of course, like, please.
You know, as you do when you hang out with friends at the pub and drink, sometimes you get sidetracked and laugh at shitty injuries and stuff.
And pretend that you're doing a podcast.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I like to pretend I'm podcasting. Just in my room, talking to my cats at the cow ranch. talking to my pussy, calling the cow ranch. But I've already done it. I've done the application. I've said I'm going for, like, it's my first show. I'm going for newcomer.
Oh, you're going for newcomer.
Yeah, like, I'm going, like, we'll be, like, compared, but I don't want it to be, like, a competition.
No,
like,
that's fine, man. We're all, you know.
And it's like, your show sounds so cool. Right. It's in the fire escape and there's no microphone.
Yeah,
and, like,
no, that's great.
Like, I've
I'm cool with
and, like, I've got the Victoria Hotel. Like, it's, like a great.
I just, like.
It's like 80 seaters.
So, can we just back up a second? But newcomer's the one specifically you're going for.
Mm.
Not Gibbo, the one for weird shows.
No, I don't, because do you think you'd have a chance at the Gibbo?
No, I'm like.
Like,
kinda.
Rose, you didn't enter the Gibbo, did you?
No,
well,
I
was eligible, but I won Best Newcomer.
I just do pretty straightforward stand-up. So
yeah, well, so do I. Like, yeah. I would say it's pretty straightforward.
Just because, like, I thought it had to be your first show.
Well, I mean, it is my first show as Jamie Kirk.
Huh.
As opposed to. The last one is Jamie Kirk.
Well, don't, Rose, don't you take his side. You're my
That was
friend.
A sidebar.
Oh, right.
I'm not against anyone's side here. I was just under the impression, you know, there were two genders.
To the next step.
What a hearty debate at the end there. Whose side do you fall on? We'll never know unless you talk to us, which you should do, because you can contact us on like social media and whatnot. I think
We are We Ate It All on Twitter. I think we are We Ate It All Podcast on Instagram. We'll just tell your mother We Ate It All on Facebook. Or you can email us at weateitall69@gmail.com. So thanks for listening to this week and last week's Best Of episodes. We are genuinely thankful to everybody who voted on clips that we should put in there, and to every guest that sent in a little happy 2 year thing. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Also, thank you to everybody that's ever been a guest on the show ever. Like 2 years is pretty long time to have done this, and we have a good time bringing it to you every week, and we're going to keep doing that. Next week, regular programming ensues, albeit, you know, remotely, but we're going to get back to watching movies and then not talking about them, so that should be pretty fun. On a personal level as well, if you want to follow me on social media, I am at Rose Alice Piper on Instagram and Twitter, and just Rose Piper on Facebook. Please come and talk to me. I am alone in my house during this lockdown thing, and I am bored and lonely. But anyway, again, thank you so much to everybody who listens. We really love doing the show for you. Please tell your friends. We would love more people to get involved. So until then, to the next step.